Attention all campers.
Keith Murphy.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
Andy Fails.
I'm telling you straight, it's my way or the highway.
I'm not talking about dance lessons.
We're talking about unchecked aggression here.
I'm talking about putting a brick through the other guy's windshield.
I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand, dude.
I'm talking about taking it out and chopping it up.
Talking more than sports.
Is this a... what day is this?
On 1460.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder.
KXNO.
Welcome to Friday on the Murph and Andy Show. That sounds good. That feels good. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs is powering us up as we go into what is expected to be a hot weekend, for some dangerously hot. Hope everybody can stay safe out there. I already saw, was it Urbandale, Andy, that's opening up like a cooling center for people who need it?
I think all of the cooling centers that regularly are open. I know the West Des Moines Public Library, it's going to be open anyway, but it's got its sign out front saying, cooling center, open. Just in case you're just out walking along and you get hot.
AD, you're cool.
Thanks.
Let's get to the one at one.
The one at one. One. With Murph and Andy, powered by Kaburski Brothers Lawn Care.
All right. Well, there's a lot of information being reported. Some of it's rumors. Some of it's from credible reporting. But we are back in this realignment circus. I think, going to churn for a while here. But the latest is CBS Sports is reporting that Texas and Oklahoma are expected to declare intent to leave the Big 12 as soon as 24 to 48 hours. That's been followed up by a report, AD, who reported that it's expected the SEC will accept Texas and Oklahoma by a 13-1 vote, the one objection being Texas A&M.
Yeah, Kirk Bowles tweeted that out. He is the Austin American Statesman sports columnist down in Austin, Texas. So he tweeted that they are hoping to offer invitations to Texas. The SEC currently hoping to offer invitations to Texas, Oklahoma as soon as, quote, sometime next week, the vote will be 13-1.
There was a conference call last night among administrators in the Big 12. According to The Athletic, Texas and Oklahoma were invited, but were not on the call. So the other eight schools, including Iowa State, were on the call. I don't think that's a surprise, as they tried to figure out, why the change. Clearly, Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, had no idea this was coming. He said a week ago that it doesn't keep him up at night, and he doesn't see any reason to worry about realignment. A week later, he's up at night because this is a tough thing for the Big 12.
I don't see it happening. I'm not saying it could never happen. He should have stopped right there. But then he went, it doesn't keep me up at night, though.
Well, you're up now, Bob.
Not that it, might not someday happen, but someday, he just kind of kept going.
Some days, 6 days later, yeah. Is when the someday was. So there's also a report from a verified Kansas blogger, reporter, yeah, for Mike, like 24/7 sports.
Mike Vernon.
Bleacher Report.
Bleacher. Well, says current Big Tech KU Scoopmeister.
Okay.
He used to work for Bleacher Report, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the Kansan News.
Okay. He does have a blue check mark, for what that's worth. He says that Kansas is already in the process of contacting the Big Ten and would try to take Iowa State with it. Those are the two schools that have the academics that the Big Ten requires, and some other things going for it, including geography. So that's reported. Andy, as we get into this, I think it's important to remind our listeners and ourselves that there is going to be a lot of misinformation out there. It doesn't mean the reporting is inaccurate, but like coaching searches, like realignment talk, like the NFL draft, all leaked information has a purpose. And sometimes the purpose is just to put a trial balloon out there. Sometimes it's to make somebody else nervous. Sometimes it's to find out, would they be interested in this? Like a note you would pass in middle school, I like you, do you like me?
And some of it's just bad reporting.
Yeah, and some of it is jumping the gun because everybody's trying to be first. It doesn't mean that all of this won't happen, but we have to go back just less than a decade for a lot of panic that ended up to have some truth to it and some huge movement, but not the collapse that many predicted or expected.
You have to remember how many convincing arguments we were able to make about things that didn't happen the last time that this came along. I mean, really, and how easy it is to make a convincing argument for something to happen. You know, something can look like it makes total sense. You know, and it is something can look indefensible, and it is defensible. Something can make perfect sense, and then it doesn't happen. Something can make no sense, and yet to the powers that be, it makes enough sense, and so it does happen. I mean, you can craft an argument for why Iowa State and Kansas should go to the Big Ten, or for what is going to happen to the future of conferences in college sports, and it can make all sense in the world, and then not work out. I mean, it's just right now things are in motion, and you don't really know where they're going to settle. I can just remember being convinced last time that a few things were going to happen, and they didn't.
Stuart Mandel, who is he with these days? He's with The Athletic. He's the editor-in-chief of The Athletic, college football part of The Athletic. He writes that reaching out to the Pac-12 about a potential 20-school merger was discussed during Thursday's Big 12 leadership call, which makes sense because...
It makes more sense to move the Big 12 as a unit than to break it up individually.
Yeah, we're headed, in college football in particular, conferences appear to be headed to being all but irrelevant because it's been kind of irrelevant for a while. Yeah, this superpower type deal, the 64 teams or whatever the number ends up being, it seems headed for something like that. It does not, as we said yesterday, it does not appear to me that the Big 12, and I was asked by a friend today, do you think Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12? And I do think they're leaving this time. I know Texas...
Too much has happened.
I think Texas has said this a couple of times or hinted at this and then turned around. I don't think the Big 12 can turn them around at this time because there's just so much more money available to go to the SEC. And people stop and say, well, Oklahoma and Texas, their path to the playoff is easier in the Big 12. And they're right about that. But the difference in the broadcasting rights between what the Big 12 is going to be able to get and what the SEC could get, especially with these two teams, is just such a huge difference. And we say it over and over again, follow the money or the answers to your questions. Is money that's a big, big part of this. Recruiting is another big part of this because Oklahoma and Texas can spread out into even more fertile recruiting bases than the ones they already are strong in. So I do think this is going to happen. But I don't know. But I do think that this time. So what does that mean for the Big 12? What it doesn't feel to me, and Jamie Pollard even said the last time this nearly happened, you can't lose Oklahoma and Texas. And I think he called it the Mountain West at the time.
He said that on our show, yeah. He said, if you lose those two teams, we are the Mountain West.
Right. Well, there you go. So you add like a Houston, and I mean, even if you could get a BYU or something, there's not enough there.
Cincinnati, Memphis.
Houston and Boise State are not going to make up for Texas and Oklahoma.
No. With Texas and Oklahoma, the broadcasting rights are likely the biggest reason that they're moving. So you can't lose them and have the rights go up or go up in comparison to the way they're going with these other conferences. So I do think they're going to lose Houston and Texas. So what do? Either you try to get to the Big Ten or you think about this Pac-12 merger. It would make sense to me. If Iowa State and Kansas could join the Big Ten, I think that'd be fantastic for both the Big Ten and those two schools. We forget basketball because it doesn't make enough money. So the whole conversation revolves around football. But how does that not make the Big Ten better to have those two teams in there, especially with the rivalries and geography, the natural rivalries? And then,
want an argument against it? Yeah, I mean, they don't get much out of that other than having to split up their pie two more directions. They get no football at all out of Kansas, and they get a real small market out of Iowa State.
Also, if the SEC is coming with Texas and Oklahoma and the Big Ten counters with Iowa State and Kansas, no offense to Iowa State.
What are their options?
Well, I almost think that a bigger block.
Yeah, well, and go
offer four teams to the Big Ten. Look, I mean, this is going to keep on.
The four that are going to come out of the remainder of the Big 12 aren't going to. No. You got to go get USC, Virginia Tech. See if Clemson is in bed with the ACC. I mean,
say goodbye to geography. Absolutely. We kind of already have.
Yeah, we have. I mean, right now, geography in the Big Ten goes from Lincoln, Nebraska to the Atlantic Ocean.
If you want to keep Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan happy, and you're the Big Ten, Kansas and Iowa State's not going to do that. And they look down and see what's happening down south, and they're building a legitimate power conference. That's what worries me as a Big Ten fan, as an Iowa fan, where I feel safe today, but I'm not naive enough to think that the Big Ten is safe from all of this or that Iowa is safe in all of this.
Imagine a world where West Virginia joins the Pac-12.
Yeah, imagine a world where the Big Ten has Rutgers and USC. Coast to coast.
I know. Got to get over the geography.
And you know, we're probably going to have to blow out our traditional thinking to get your mind around this at all. Although, I mean, the regional rivalries still should be a selling point for any of this. It still makes sense. Things that, and you know, these conferences that have cobbled together new teams are still having trouble acclimating those new teams. I mean, the Big Ten has not acclimated Rutgers and Maryland and even Nebraska. I mean, that hasn't worked yet.
No, it's has the potential. Just like, I mean, imagine Kansas and Iowa basketball or some of the rivalries here. Nebraska, Iowa State, Kansas, like what you could do. That the geography does matter, but back to money. This ultimately pivots. All these answers seem to pivot on money. I think it's worth repeating. Last time the Big 12 stayed together, Jamie Pollard had a huge role behind the scenes in doing that. So Iowa State has a good leader in forward thinking. He will have ideas. I don't think we're going to hear from him until things are on the record. But of course, he's working on this. And also worth repeating, since this all revolves around football, this is by far the best shape Iowa State's ever been in football-wise. Facilities, attendance, head coach, all of it.
And it's all because of football.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that football just put, well, because we're talking about an athletic conference here, and we're talking about football is the main reason that these two schools are leaving the Big 12 in the first place, and football being the main reason that the SEC has so much power, the only reason. You know, that's the currency right now in what we're talking about. The currency is football. And, Iowa State being in this position, that helps them a lot. I'm not sure what else does. I mean, they already have a team from this state.
They have passionate fans. They're growing, but that doesn't do a lot.
It doesn't do a lot, but I do think it's better than it was 10 years ago, where it was all about cable. Now it's all about subscriptions, and we know Iowa State fans will pay for content. So if you're looking for a large fan base to subscribe to your digital network, there are bigger ones than Iowa State for sure, but Iowa State is an attractive addition when it comes to that.
You know, in Kansas, you get Kansas City. I mean, that's basically KU is basically the University of Kansas City. I mean, that's that whole metro area's school. You counter the SEC with Missouri, and you know, you almost kind of the Big Ten would be able to kind of surround the state of Missouri with Big Ten, with Illinois and Iowa and KU. I can almost feel like that makes more sense for the Big Ten than Iowa State.
And the blue blood basketball, which again doesn't matter a lot, but,
no, but
it should matter some. That's Kansas basketball. I mean,
it's I guess that would not be a land-grant college then. I don't know that any of that stuff matters to this at all. But you're right. I mean, Iowa State is in much better shape now for something like this. They're much more marketable now.
Yeah, for sure.
Than they were 10 years ago when this came up. And I would like to see Iowa State move to the Big Ten. Look, I just want them to go to a safe harbor. I don't want them floating around out there trying to gather together buddies, you know, enough to keep a boat afloat.
And you don't want the Mountain West. And some people, I've heard people, this is back before Iowa State showed that it can matter nationally in football. But from time to time, we would hear from fans who would say, why not join the Mountain West
Don't you just feel like this is, we are headed to two or three super conference, or three or four super conferences, so let's just do it. You know, let's divvy this stuff up now. Let's rip off the Band-Aid. Just, you know, get the Pac-12 to take the Mountain West, absorb that. Get the, you know, divide the Big 12 up amongst the SEC and the Big 10.
The ACC.
And then tell the ACC to, you know, do whatever they need to do.
Add West Virginia.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe West Virginia.
Texas schools that are left over.
This is where you cannot overstate how much it hurts that there is not a central commissioner.
Yes. Or an NCAA that has any sort of authority.
Yeah, right? And they have less authority now than ever before. Yeah. They basically are now, they're the entity that puts on the basketball tournament.
Yeah.
That's the NCAA's part. They're really not even involved in football anymore. So there's no czar, there's no commissioner, there's nobody, there's not even anybody that can rally everyone together to say, okay, look, we all can see this coming. Here's how we can make it work for everyone. They don't have that. So everybody's having backroom conversations in their own selfish interest, spreading misinformation to try to throw the other people off the scent. And now you're trying to find a chair again. As musical chairs goes on, and it's a mess, and nobody wants to be left without a chair, and this is stressful. And the commissioner of the Big 12 said a week ago, I don't see it happening, and I'm not worried about it. But my goodness, that shows you how, I mean, the guy with right there at the middle of all this had no idea this was coming.
You wonder if this is how long this has been going. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are supposed to be bitter rivals. And you know that they have been in cahoots.
For sure.
They're so much more powerful moving as a two-school unit.
And this didn't start because of name, image, likeness. I know people have asked that. Do you think this is in response to that?
I don't think this ever ended.
They've been working on this. Yeah.
It got backburnered for a while. But, you know, and I think if Texas had taken off and become a real power again, this would be less likely. But right now, I feel like it's a can't beat them, join them type thing for them.
Gosh, and they have everything they need and just have underperformed. Let's get a quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas, as we have enough on the record now where this is not an offensive question to any Cyclone or Big 12 fan. I mean, there's enough accurate on the record reporting and statements from the Big 12 to know that Texas and Oklahoma do intend to join the SEC.
Do you want to see Iowa State in the Big 10? Yes or no?
Yes. I mean, it's a safe harbor
for me. That's how I feel right now.
I will preface this by saying I hope Iowa State finds a good landing spot and keeps rivalries and makes a lot of money and is a power school and all of that. I would prefer it not be in the Big 10. I like having attachment to two power conferences. I like paying attention to two separate conferences. We already get Iowa and Iowa State playing each year, so we don't need them in the Big Ten. I don't want to lose my connection to another conference, which I feel like I have right now. I'm paying attention to Big 12 standings as a Big Ten fan. I won't have that if they're in the Big Ten. And also, again, as I said earlier, as a Big Ten fan who's a little worried about the stability of my own conference,
sure,
Iowa State just doesn't add enough to keep Ohio State happy. They don't add enough to keep Michigan and Penn State happy, and that's the only way Iowa is safe, is if Ohio State's happy.
I do know that you're saying that with the honest assessment of somebody who's looking at this on a national scale. I know because you're a transparent Hawkeye fan, that some will take that as an insult.
For sure, absolutely.
But you are looking at it as, what does this do for the Big 10 stature, which now must be measured against the SEC.
Exactly.
The SEC has the best conference for football. The Big Ten is second.
And the only reason we know what's going on with Texas and Oklahoma is because presumably Texas A&M leaked it. Who's to say that the SEC isn't already talking to Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State to try to form some
I think you
gigantic,
should put those in there, yeah, and, Michigan, and so, Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, so if that happens, the Big Ten goes away, yeah. And then my team is left without the power conference and all the money that comes with it and the prestige and all of the opportunity. And so just as a guy, yeah, I'm worried about the stability of the Big Ten, and I don't think Kansas and Iowa State is a big enough get to keep everybody happy when the schools that the SEC is pulling are blue blood all-time programs. They're getting Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC. It's wild what they're about to do.
And this all feels temporary.
It does.
Because there again, there's not a commissioner or somebody in a position of authority that can get everybody in a room or on the phone or on a Zoom call and say, look, we all have to find a way to better our positions, but we have to do it together. So what we have is a scramble of self-interest where everybody's just trying to make sure they don't get left out, and that how can anything permanent come out of this?
Yeah, and it's funny to think, okay, where do you stop with your speculation? How about the entire country is the SEC? Why is that out of the question? I mean, just everybody joins, really? I mean, what? Or there's, you know, two conferences.
Yeah, they go after Ohio State and Michigan next.
Well, they go after Ohio State and Michigan next. They take them. Then you have these other teams scrambling again. I mean, what do you do? Do you go for numbers right now, or do you just go for the big schools?
And that's why if I'm the Big Ten, like, why not have has Kevin Warren called Clemson? Has he called Florida State and Miami? Again, the SEC just pulled the two biggest schools out of the Big 12. Why can't the Big 10 go pull the two biggest schools out of the ACC or the Pac-12?
I think if you're a Big 10 fan, you should be worried about your leadership.
Yes.
Kevin Warren's leadership provided us about a half dozen sound-off commentaries last year. It was bad.
It's been shaky at best.
It was shaky at best. And I didn't like hearing from him a couple of days ago that he would do everything the same again.
Yeah, right.
Because you asked me about anything in my life that I did, and I can probably find something I could have done better, even when I'm at my best. And to hear him say, I would do it all the same again. Well, what did you learn from that? Because that was bad, man. You had upset parents, coaches, players, fans. You would do that all the same? This is the guy that's going to lead the Big Ten at this time. And the Big 12's leader was at a podium last week saying he didn't think there was any chance realignment was going to rise up again. It took a week. So, yeah, I'd worry about some of this. Tom, you have a thought on all of this?
Yeah, first off, I would love to have Iowa State in the Big Ten. I sort of like what AD said about, you know, I sort of like having to pay attention to two conferences, but that's not the reason I called. So, if Iowa State were to get into the Big Ten, doesn't the Big Ten have a thing where they have to have so many varsity sports? So would Iowa State have to bring back sports that they cut, like baseball? And that's the only one I can think of right offhand. But
it's a good question, Tom. And I think everything, to answer you, I think everything is negotiable, especially following COVID. I think you can excuse fewer programs. I think the Big Ten, didn't the Big Ten make an exception for Nebraska's academics? That was supposed to be considered something that could keep them out, but didn't. Again, if they want you and they want the money that comes with the brand, they will figure out a way to do it.
They're not going to let the lack of a baseball program stop it.
The potential Big 12 the implosion has cast a shadow over Big 10 football media days, which are going on right now. But Kirk Ferentz, Iowa's head coach and the dean of college football students, did talk to reporters today.
Regarding our team, you know, obviously just looking forward to getting started with them, looking forward to preseason practice when that goes. I know all of us want to know the answers right now. None of us do. I don't know how good we'll be this year, but I can say I really like our football team. I like the people on it. I like the way they've trained, the way they've worked going back to January, and the attitude that they've displayed on a really consistent basis. So happy about that.
I am serious when I say that audio could be from any of Kirk Ferentz's 23 years at Iowa. There's not one thing in there to identify it as this year.
I was watching some of that press conference this morning, and he, other than looking at his face and hair, It's all about the same. He's got the yellow tie this year. He kind of alternates those.
Oh, he's on right now. I can see him right there.
Yeah, but I mean, he is aging gracefully. He looks really good.
He looks in shape, too.
Yeah, for a grandfather, he's fit, and he looks like he's in a good mood. But he is aged in, like, anti-dog years, very slowly.
Brian has a realignment question. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Andy kind of touched on this a little bit, but with the adding of Texas and the adding of Oklahoma and them, you know, I mean, we don't know this, but if they're talking about adding Florida State and Clemson and Penn State and Ohio State, at what point does that one big conference just become, like, two separate conferences anyway? You know, I mean, because they're not all going to play each other.
Yeah, like AFC, NFC at some point. And, Brian, we were just throwing that out as speculation of where does this end. I haven't seen any reporting that they've reached out to ACC or Big Ten. And Michael Martz, Royal Mile Inbox, he points out that he thinks the issue with ACC schools is their grant of rights already goes to 2036. That's 15 more years.
So they're not waiting around for that. But my thing is, at what point does the end result look the same anyway? If Oklahoma wins this side of the conference and Alabama wins that side of the conference, what's the difference between, you know, Clemson wins the ACC, Oklahoma wins the Big 12, Alabama wins the SEC? They're all going to the same place anyway.
This is all about cuts of media dollars.
It is.
That's it. I mean, the whole thing.
Thanks, Brian.
Just media. It's not about competition, rivalries, academics, travel. It is all about getting the biggest group of eyeballs together.
Yep, and even as
that
ratings
will go for the most money for in broadcast or whatever it's going to be in the future.
Right.
Any sort of media rights sold at the highest dollar.
And even as ratings erode, broadcasting rights are going to keep going up because they're keeping streaming services and networks in business. Like the Foxes and NBCs and CBSs of the world, they can't get you to watch much anymore with their scripted dramas or sitcoms. They need to put live sports on. And even as the numbers go down a little bit because of all the different products and platforms that are out there, the value of regional baseball and the NBA ratings have gone down a little bit. They're asking for double or triple the rights next time they have a bid. That's how powerful live sports is. We have Taylor and Ryan. We'll get to Taylor and Ryan when we come back here on another busy
deep experience.
Fairway Online Shopping. That's right. Add or coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
We're back on the Murph and Andy Show. We thank Ryan and Taylor for waiting around here. They have something to say. Ryan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, guys. I think the Big Ten can't sip. You know, stand pat. I mean, if this is true, we have no reason to assume this isn't going to happen. It's not like the SEC is going to 16 teams and they got like Virginia and North Carolina. If they did, it's like, okay, we don't need to add two. They went out and got Oklahoma and Texas, and we all know football rules. You can't sit back doing nothing when they already have more prominence in football and all that stuff, and it's real. They added them two guys. I would go and lean on Texas A&M. Hey, you hate Texas. You left because of the network. Now your conference, they don't respect you at all. They didn't even bring you to the meetings. We're the Big Ten still. Get Texas A&M and stop, you know, winking at Notre Dame. Get them in the conference. You know, they always have to wait so many shares and years to get your shares in Big Ten. No, say shares year one, and if you got to give them more money, you say, Notre Dame, do you really want to, you know, play with the ACC? I mean, they might be gone. You know, they got a horrible TV contract. Who knows what's going on with them? But they need to get two more teams, and they got to be good. They can't go and get, you know, Virginia and a West Virginia or a Pitt. No, I mean, they we got two big schools. Now we have to make some moves. That's about all I got to say, guys.
Ryan, that was well said.
I think that's very valid. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you do what he's basically saying, do whatever it takes to get Notre Dame off this independent position.
Yes.
And that makes
Give
sense.
Give them the keys to the castle.
I mean, they belong in the Big Ten, not the ACC.
Tell them they can have whatever deal Texas got in the Big 12.
Yeah. It's
we won't even let other teams make fun of you without penalizing you.
Taylor has a thought here on a Friday. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, how are you?
So good.
Two things. I've been reading. I work overnight. I've been reading about this. Well, the one, if they break off and become like a semi-pro league, you know, that's what some of the people, and they start offering, let's say they offer 120 scholarships, they start a different NCAA. Title IX still kicks in. They have to provide scholarships for the women also. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to create more sports. And then, like the NFL, they only have 88 home games. Is an Alabama going to want to have only 6 home games versus the 8 they have now?
Yeah, there's so many questions out there. Thank you, Taylor. And the NCAA has been ineffective for so long, and so many things. It's like when the Supreme Court ruled against the NCAA recently, they didn't just rule against. They took the opportunity to basically roast the NCAA for being so clueless for so long. And now that's where we are. I mean, you could see this writing on the wall time and time again.
Well, the conferences were doing the same thing, though. They could have roasted the conferences, but the conferences didn't have to make that call. It was an NCAA call, so they had that shield from the NCAA. For where the blame was, the conferences weren't any closer to giving nil to the athletes. They didn't want that either.
Like sticking with the bowls, stuff like that.
I try to think, where was the point that the NCAA, the critical mass point where their power was as high as it was going to get, and then it started slipping backwards? Because it's been slipping backwards for a while. I feel like it was. It's got to do with football. I mean, we know this has all got to do with football. I think it's the point where it was clear that everybody was tired of the bowl system, that was just this antiquated, really unsatisfying
good old boy network
where everybody kind of knew each other and just a bunch of old, you know, rich white men getting together and scratching each other's backs.
With cash.
Yeah, right.
With scratching stacks of cash.
Right. It was at that point where finally the conferences stepped out and said, okay, we're gonna start putting together something on our own. The NCAA needed to say, okay, we feel like the demand is so great for college football right now that we need to grab this bull by the horns and start making a playoff system here so that we can capitalize on this. Because you remember the arguments that were all, you know, holding that back, like, you know, travel in the winter time and, you know, the kids' finals and stuff like that. I mean,
too many games.
That is so way antiquated.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It seems ridiculous that people made arguments like that, but they did all the time. And that is, to me, that seems like where the NCAA started losing its power. And then ever since then, the hole just keeps getting bigger and just, you know, more and more sand comes out of the bag.
It reminds me a little bit of the newspaper industry.
Yeah.
I mean, just for at the end, people were saying and trying to tell those who are running newspapers, this is all changing fast.
Yeah.
And you got to change with it. And even some of the writers didn't know we're a newspaper. We've been a, you know, an
institution. But they didn't know how to monetize it, though. And
there just wasn't any forward thinking by some.
You had to have somebody really visionary, like could almost see the future. Because remember, we were all in the media at that time. You just didn't know how you're going to get people to pay for stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Because, right? They pay for a physical paper that has ads in it. All of a sudden, what are they going to pay for a website and clicks? I mean, that still hasn't really worked. I mean, they haven't figured it out yet.
No, only a few have made
it
work. But
this was just about giving more football to people.
Yeah, and like in the example of the newspapers, if they had somebody that came together to organize that you could pay a fee like they do with music downloading. Remember when that was going to be the end of the music industry?
Right.
But somebody figured out they were pushed by Napster. because people were getting free downloads. We all did it for a while. And then they figured out, okay, we got to organize. We got to make streaming services available. And then the artist and writers and company, you're going to get a kick out of every time a song is played from here to eternity. Everyone figured it out. It completely changed the system. But newspapers, and in some way, even, you know, television stations, they just didn't figure out how to monetize all that digital content. It's like, even in our world, I probably reach the most people on Twitter and Facebook.
Nobody gets paid for that. I don't make a penny from that.
Neither does the television station or the radio
station.
Yeah,
content that you create on that isn't...
It's not monetized.
No one gets paid for it at all.
You're the same, and many others are too. Joe has a thought here on realignment, and here we go again.
Well, and I don't know, I didn't mean that, didn't realize you guys had shifted gears, but if this power conference and the teams secede from said current conferences, I hope that it does away with buying victories. In other words, no more Ohio State against Youngstown States, etc., and have your NFL-based schedule where you play your current nine conference games, but your three non-cons, say Big Ten versus SEC, kind of like the ACC Big Ten Challenge in football, where you might have two teams that are 9-3 playing for the title instead of 2 12-0s with three or four quote-unquote patsies.
Yeah, and Joe, if they open it up to playoffs where, I mean, in the format they've had, nobody wants to risk losing two games. One might be too many losses, so they didn't want to take that chance, and they're all trying to get bowl eligible with six wins, so they want two or three easy, so-called easy wins in there. If you open it up to where the best teams make the playoffs, even with two or three losses at times, that could change everything. Yeah, thank you, Joe. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. We have some other news today, so let's get to a couple of those here, although this big story dominates for a reason. But the Cleveland Indians have changed their names. They announced their new name. I guess they're the Indians for the rest of this season, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so in the middle of the season here, we're past the halfway point. Tom Hanks introduces the new nickname for the Cleveland Major League Baseball team.
We remember those moments as we move forward with change. You see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city. Because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
Well, Hanks's narration is fantastic.
It is.
I'll say that. He's getting up there with Morgan Freeman.
Is he an Indians fan? Not from Cleveland.
Yeah, is he not from Cleveland?
No, I just assumed he was from Cleveland.
California.
Okay.
Got paid a handsome sum, dude.
I don't think he needs money. Is he an Indians fan?
I don't know. I don't know. I was trying to figure that out myself.
Okay, so you drop the word in and add gar, because it still ends with Dians, but now it's Guardians instead of Indians. Guardians of the Galaxy comes to mind for a lot of people. I do know that they're Guardians of Traffic. They have those statues
on the bridges. They show that in the video.
So there's that.
Tom Hanks, one of the most well-known, famous Indians fans on the planet, according to Cleveland.com.
I wonder how that happened.
He has first professional job as an intern. I guess he's got a long history with the city.
I was rooting for Spiders just because I thought that was unique. It has a history with Cleveland and the baseball team.
Yeah, it'd be a fun logo, a fun mascot.
That was my preferred choice. But this is not the worst choice in the world. The first thing I thought was, okay, are there any prophylactics or sex toys
named Guardian?
Named Guardians. Because you know where people are going to hit you first if they're going to try to make fun of you.
Anytime you hear a new name, it usually takes a while to get used to.
Yeah, it always sounds weird.
Rockers was something a lot of people wanted.
I thought Rocks would have been better than Rockers. I think Cleveland Rocks would have been kind of cool.
Quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas.
The Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians. What is your first reaction? I love it. That's fine, or I hate it.
My first reaction is I hate it. I mean, I don't like this, and I think the logo is really cheesy. Like it looks
kind of use the Indians lettering. and just change the letters.
See, I kind of like the Guardians written across. I've liked what Cleveland has had for uniforms since they got rid of Chief Wahoo. I don't love the G with the wings.
Yeah. That looks like something from Flash Gordon.
Yeah, the Detroit Red Wings or something on the back of a shoe.
This is a logo. I'm not. When I say I hate it, I don't. I mean, I don't care that much. But I mean, just my first instinct is they named it Guardians.
It's a little uninspired, but I'm fine with it. I don't love it. I don't hate it.
You're fine. Yeah. You're just going fine.
I'm fine.
You're whatever. It's
whatever.
Whatever.
I don't think there's ever been a name change in sports that people have liked.
You're like, oh yeah.
No. And it always takes years for it to settle in. But then you get to the point where you can't believe it was ever anything else.
Yeah, nobody, like, my kids will never think the Washington Wizards is a weird name.
They should. That's still a terrible name.
It is, but I mean, think about it. Is anybody lamenting the loss of the Stanford Indians? No. Nobody remembers that. It was back in the early 70s. It's been the Cardinal ever since then. It's just...
Yeah, I didn't think I knew that.
But I think that's...
Or the Miami Redskins. I mean, I think that's about gone from history now, too.
The Stanford Cardinal...
is unique.
It's unique, but to me, it's a misfire. Most people pronounce it Cardinals. They think it's the bird. They don't realize it's the color. Right. I don't think I knew that for most of my life.
No, but it fits that school. They look to be unique, and they got a pine tree as their mascot for no reason.
Yes.
Well, yeah, there's a pine tree in the middle of their school emblem.
Simpson, now the Storm, is Redmond for
I don't remember a time when it was not the Storm, I don't think.
Oh, does that predate you?
It may not, but it's already left my memory.
Cardinals quietly took 3 of 4 from the Cubs. You notice that?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I follow along with that. It makes me think, gosh, if they hadn't completely given away the one game, they would be... only 6 games out of first place.
Hang in there. Fernando Tatis Jr. is the fastest to reach 50 home runs and 50 steals.
Yeah, so I was on MLB.com this morning. I was reading this, and that's what the headline said. It said, Fernando Tatis Jr., fastest to 50 homers, 50 steals. Now, when you hear that, what do you think?
I think he's gotten there this year, this season.
No, his career. That's what they're saying. Well, you can't do that. That's not how sports stats
work. That's cheating.
That's not how sports stats work. Right? I mean, if somebody says to you, well, yeah, ran a marathon the other day. Oh, really? 26.2 miles? Well, I ran a half mile a day for 53 days straight. That's not the same.
It's not the same.
Or saying, hey, the PA announcer comes on. Somebody's running back. So and so just passed the 1,000 yard mark.
Oh, really? In the 10th game of the season?
Well, no. Yeah, you're like, wait a minute. We're 2 games into the season. How's that possible? Well, no, it counted last season too, and the season before.
Yeah,
that's not how sports stats work.
Yeah, if AD says I ate a box of Twinkies, that better be during the show.
I've eaten a box of Twinkies cumulatively in my life.
Yeah, you wait with these sports.
Just can't do it in one city.
It's either like in that season. And we know what stats look like when they're season stats. Or you're talking career, and we know what those stats look like. And nobody's bragging about 50 home runs in a career.
I got one strikeout a game for 20 straight games. 20 strikeouts.
Yeah. You can't do that.
No, that's
a sports foul.
Throwdown Center of Iowa.
It's time for Throwdown on the Murph and Andy Show.
Let's throw it down. Andy, it's Big Ten Media Day. Well, we don't know what college football will look like moving forward. We do know there's a push to get rid of the divisions in the Big Ten and have the two teams with the best records play for the championship at the end of the regular season. Are you in favor of the Big Ten doing away with divisions?
Yeah, you know, honestly, this is sidestepping your question, but I feel like things are in such flux right now that they shouldn't make any changes like this. They ought to stick with what they got, not try to get people to get used to something else new just before they have to change it again. The divisions have got a lot of holes in them, but I don't know that anybody's going to have their eyes on the here and now. They're looking down the road right now. Everybody's got, you know, tunnel vision. They're looking at what might be coming. I think they should just stick with what they're doing right now, try to get back to normal. Last year was such a bad year. People just kind of want – they're not tired of normal yet. Let's just stick with that.
The best thing the Big 12 has going for it in football is that every team plays every other team in the conference. It has really served as a reminder to me how how nice that was when that happened. You actually played everyone. I do think they need to get rid of divisions, but Andy makes the larger point here of we need to figure out what's going on first, and we still need Kevin Warren to show that he can be an effective forward-thinking leader, because I don't think he was at all last year. So this seems like something to not worry about too much until they figure out what is going on.
Yeah, I wrote that question before, you know, all hell broke loose.
And it's Texas and Oklahoma. Yes. I mean, my goodness.
Murph, the MAC announced this week that any football team that has to cancel a game due to COVID will forfeit that game. Now, a year ago, I thought that was too harsh, but circumstances are different this year. Should this be the standard for all of college football?
I think it should. There is, if you have everybody... if everybody has an injury, you have to forfeit. If you have some kind of breakout that's not related to COVID and you can't play, if everyone had food poisoning, you would still have to forfeit the game. I mean, we have a vaccine that has been tested and proven effective, and there are some people for various reasons that can't take a vaccine, but some are choosing not to, and that is their choice. But if that choice leads to your football team not having enough players to play, and I think Chad Lystico reported today that Iowa's still under 70%, you lose the game. I mean, we all had vaccines as children. We had to take them before we could go to school. Right now, we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's in hospitals, and that's those who are dying. So even though I don't think players are at risk of dying or being hospitalized, if they get sick to where they can't play, I think that shows up on your record.
Yeah, I totally agree with this. I think this is an incentive at the very least, at the most. You know, you're asking these guys, these teams, to help protect other people in their communities, and that's very important. You know, this is a worldwide battle, as we can see with the Olympics right now. Yeah, it's your choice. You want to do that, but you're going to live with some consequences that are more dire than these, by the way. So, look, you know, these schools set these standards for academics. They set standards for all sorts of other pieces of behavior. This is another standard.
All right, let's lighten this up, Andy. Earlier this week when talking about burgers and dogs, you said something that got me thinking. Do you prefer your toppings or sauces on the top or bottom of your burger or sandwich?
Well, see, I used to just put them on the top because it seemed like they came last and you had your patty on there. But my wife will tell you that I'm a fiddly cook and kind of a high maintenance food fixer. I'm sure both of you would attest to that.
She's not the only one.
But it works better because, I mean, what do you have? The problem you have with a hamburger is a soggy bottom bun. And you could solve that by putting the lettuce on the bottom. It like protects. It's like putting the tarp inside the tent.
I'm not clinically insane. I put the toppings on top of the meat where they belong.
They are called a topping.
That's one more thing.
They're not called a bottoming.
Yeah, I'm an American. Of course, okay. I put it on top.
I have considered, though, like if they're on the bottom, they're closer to your tongue. Maybe you get like a different flavor.
It works better. It stays together better.
All right. The poll is up on Twitter, at Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph? Was it Andy?
All right. No Sipker today, but we do have a taste test. One of our listeners has said the Pringles sweet corn chips are awful. So, of course, we'll see if he's right. That's coming up along with the 2 p.m. trend.